This is Michael. You're listening to Models of Masters, and I'm so grateful you're here. I'm breaking down personal stories, learned wisdom, and pieces of insight I hope can help you along your journey. Head over to my website, michaelbecker.org, for much more. And with that, let's get right into the show. Typically, the way that we talk about and think about influencers is as solo creators or like one-man businesses who have a large following and are putting out content that gets a ton of likes and a ton of follows on their own. They typically represent themselves. They might have their own company. They probably are making an income on their own, and they're probably getting that income through sponsorship deals or brand partnerships. Evangelists, on the other hand, are just the flip side of the coin, but they are likely building their personal brand on behalf of a business and less so for themselves. Now, the lines between these two terms are more blurred than they've ever been. And it's worth noting that I believe that anyone and everyone can and actually should be thinking about how they can make that transition from influencer to evangelist if you're somebody who's building a business or working on behalf of a company. Companies also need to understand how the market is shifting and start partnering with more solo influencers, analysts, bloggers, podcasters, thought leaders within their space, and then simultaneously empowering their team, even if it's just a small team. Let's say you've got a team of two or three people, if you're a really small business, even a local mom and pop shop, or if you're a large enterprise and you have 100 employees, you should be empowering your employees to go out and build their own personal brands. And the fact that companies aren't yet doing this, I won't say all, but many companies are not yet thinking in this way, is to their detriment, because everybody is online. Everybody is on either LinkedIn or Instagram or both, and a plethora of other channels, right? You have YouTube, you have TikTok, you have Snap, you have blog, so many other channels, podcasting, right? Like if I were heading up a company or coming in to consult on a company, I would literally be asking them like, how many people in your company do you think have the skills or would have the interest in like going and putting out their own content, building their own brand? And how can we empower them to feel free enough to do that? And how can we even make that part of their job duties? You know, and I just think this is such a new thing, like relatively speaking, that we're just not there yet. But this is the way that the market is moving, and companies that are able to think that way, again, even small companies, are going to have the edge over the next 10 to 20 to 30 years. So from an influence perspective, right, let's just say you're focused on building your personal brand. Maybe you're a solo creator, and maybe you're just starting your own thing. You're starting your own company and it's just you behind the veil. So it really is about documenting your lifestyle, your travel, your experiences, your home, your office, your product. I'm talking about consistent vlogging. I'm talking about recording everything. Even having a video person follow you around if you can afford that, putting a studio in your home. I have this set up here. We are absolutely to that extent these days. Even if it's just collecting B-roll, like raw video, get that on a consistent basis. Create a system where you can send it off to an editor or edit it yourself. Create short 10 to 15 minute videos a couple of times a week. You should be recording everything. Your insights, your thoughts, reflections, learnings, experiences, interactions, behind the scenes, etc. People care about this stuff. This is what the market is watching today. This is as true for B2B as it is B2C or person to person, consumer to consumer. But again, most enterprises have not realized this. Now, from a solopreneur standpoint, it's also worth sitting down and doing the exercise, and I talked about this in the book as well, of finding and defining your editorial mission. This means getting really clear on who you want to be, what tiny slice of the market you can own, and then imagining how you can approach it from an alternative or neglected perspective that others just are not paying attention to, and how doing so will have the potential to isolate you in the minds of the people that you serve. So I'm going to share my screen quickly. And here is the simple formula for figuring out and scripting out your editorial mission statement. It's as easy as this. I will be the premier destination for audience X, whoever you serve, looking for help on topic Y to solve problem Z. Print this out, tape it above your desk, and make sure that you're sticking to this. What this will also do is allow you to say no, because there are so many different directions that you could go in. There's so much tempting bait and so many shiny objects out there that would seek to distract and deter you. When we have this defined, we're able to stay hyper-focused on what we do best. And this is what is going to allow you to build your brand and build influence over time. Now, from an evangelism perspective, a lot of these same principles actually hold true just within the context of being an employee with a business. And even that dynamic, I'm seeing start to shift a little bit. I have a friend and a mentor from my time at Emarsys. His name is Chris, and he was our CFO during my time there. And when I first joined, he was doing something that I didn't completely understand why he was doing it. And it was the first time that I'd ever seen somebody as an employee not acting like an employee. He was acting like an influencer. And he was going out and he was doing as much speaking and publishing of content and getting on stage and sharing on social media as he was his day-to-day job duties. And this was back in like 2017, right as kind of Instagram and YouTube and even LinkedIn to a large extent were starting to really pop. And I remember we sat down one day and he told me, building your personal brand is one of the most important things that you can be doing. And what he was really doing was serving as an internal influencer of sorts, who through his own self-promotion and sharing of his own expertise on social, nobody told him to do it. But by being willing to do that, he was essentially able to spread the company's brand, bring in new customers through his own channels, and empower and educate the existing clients of the business through a lot of the content that he was making and putting out just on his own. The sooner that large companies start to realize the power of freeing their employees to go and do this sort of thing, encouraging them to go speak, to be experts on other people's shows, podcasts, channels, and webinars, to go and publish social media content on a daily basis, just sharing their own perspectives and their own thoughts without a fear of getting fired for doing so, the quicker they're going to grow and the more people are going to start to flock to them and want to follow the individuals and then by extension, the company. I predict in the future that companies will also start to hire influencers to be evangelists and hopefully will free up salaried employees to go generate influence on their personal name, serving as a liaison to the brand. They will do this indirectly without pushing product, but instead creating value. These people will be compensated for who they are, who they know, and the online attention that they get, not so much for what they do. In the short term, contributing to trade publications and industry outlets helps you earn backlinks to your business page and your website, as well as getting in front of audiences that you may otherwise not have access to. Now, earned media, if you're not familiar with the term, is free exposure. It's coverage and content and contributions that you pitch people on and you gain inclusion in without cost, just based on your authority, your value, and your credibility. This needs to be a part of any mature marketing strategy or program. Now, when it comes to contributing to third-party outlets and blogs, podcasts, even getting interviewed on other people's pages, I would urge you to start thinking outside the box a little bit. The Business Insiders of the world, the Forbes, the Entrepreneurs.com, these are great, but everyone is aiming for those. They're getting probably hundreds of pitches, you know, per week, and many of these are also pay to play. So when you're thinking about getting earned placement, start thinking about very niche podcasts and pages and even individual influencers that may be looking to collaborate with experts and who do interviews or have a blog that you could, if not write for, at least contribute a quote to, for example. A lot of the smaller, more niche individuals and outlets are actively looking for contributors who already have some authority in the market or who represent companies in a leadership position to help bring additional variety to their program or to their platform. And so if you can come in and add distinct value in that way, you may be able to have more luck kind of getting in front of those really, really niche, probably smaller scale programs and audiences. Now, you can also outsource this portion of your PR slash marketing approach by hiring a part-time or contract publicist. What a professional publicist can do is, one, take the burden off of you to needing to devote a couple of hours a week to this kind of outreach and pitching. But also, if they already have relationships with various media platforms, pages, websites, then it's just going to be a lot easier in some cases for these people to make that connection on your behalf. So in general, getting earned coverage will help in terms of driving more lasting traffic to your business. It will help you boost domain authority with backlinks because you're getting other platforms to point back to your website or to your podcast or your socials. And that will also help build credibility in the marketplace, which will eventually help you to move into higher level opportunities, right? So speaking, writing books, selling higher ticket offers, since you are going to incrementally up-level your own influence by contributing to other people's places. So that's the long-term goal. That's the macro idea behind earned media in general. Many platforms accept quality guest submissions for free. I highly recommend seeking those out before you start looking at paid submissions. And in the notes for this lesson, please find a bonus template, which is a contributing article pitch. You can take that. You can customize it for your own needs and for your own outreach, and of course, change that up as needed. I do have a quick 5-step process to take in terms of systematizing this a little bit, whether you're doing it on your own or hiring someone else to help. The first step, make a list of, let's just say 30 to 50 relevant publications or outlets that you would like to contribute on. This might sound like a high number, but if this is something that you're going to be doing ongoing, this isn't, you know, gaining earned media is not like a 1 month or a 1 year project. This is something that you're going to be looking to do indefinitely. So the more outlets that you can list, the more niche that these can be, I would say the better. Step two, research their contributor guidelines. All you have to really do is Google outlet name contributor guidelines, and you can get a sense for how and whether these publications actually like to receive pitches. Some of them have these listed, some of them don't. Now, if you can't find any obvious contribution process, don't assume that that outlet is not open. Just try to contact them through a different method, like a website form, an email. If you can see the team on their about page, you can reach out to their editorial manager on LinkedIn, for example. So that's step three. Step four is the pitch. Okay. So when pitching, tailor your pitch as much as possible. Aim to make it about the value that they are going to be receiving, not about you or what you're looking for or why they should even decide to publish your content. Make sure that it's clear that you're going to add so much free insight that their audience will be spoiled, that their audience will get a 10x return on their time. Also, describe how you'll help to promote that final piece once it's published on their website. And you can even throw in numbers like, I plan to promote the link to the article or to the interview, if you're pitching a podcast, to my audience of 20,000 total people across LinkedIn, newsletter, and social media, for example. Step five, have an outline or a final article ready to go before reaching out. Realize that other people are also pitching, and the majority are probably pitching without a ready-made asset. Be different. Over-deliver by framing your message as, I have this article ready to go. And if you don't have the article, at least have a really, really thorough outline with specific bullet points on exactly what you're going to include, including imagery, charts, graphics, multimedia. All the more thorough you can kind of have, if you don't have the article, the better the outline, the better chance that you're going to catch their attention, right? So I have the article or the outline ready to go. It just needs a home. Okay. You can say it exactly like that. It just needs a home. I wanted to offer up exclusive access to you, to the name of their publication first, before I share it with anybody else. I use this same type of language in the template. So you'll see that if you go ahead and head over to the Google Doc. It's in there written almost verbatim, just like that. I've had a lot of success with phrasing my pitches that way. Test that out, see if it works for you. Okay, now let's talk about when to pay to play. So if you have a budget, if you have a discretionary fund set aside for PR, sure, you know, go suss out 3 to 5 opportunities, pay them the $500 or $1,000 to include you. And I would just look at it as a, maybe this will work, maybe it won't. I would not depend on it to send you immediate leads, right? I would just look at it as like a test campaign, essentially. Now, if you want inclusion in listicles, so blogs, like those top 10 posts or industry outlets that are doing countdowns of the top 10, whatever space you're in, then you can usually pay these platforms and these businesses to include you. I would just view this as an investment in the same way as paying for any other type of paid media. Now, if you are in the tech space or you sell an actual like hard product as opposed to an info product, there are analyst firms out there for B2B specifically. You know, there's companies like Forrester and Gartner. In my opinion, this is a pretty wasteful investment for what it is, often requiring like a six-figure payment in some cases to be included in their various like quadrants and their reports and on their website and just for the partnership sometimes. There are other firms out there that I think are worth exploring first that are either a lot cheaper or free. Firms like Capterra and G2, where you can just sign up for an account on various tiers. They're not going to be to the extent of that like six-figure range. And the way that I sort of think about this is just imagine what else you could do with that 100 grand or 50 grand or whatever it costs for some of these ridiculous analyst firm fees that are charging you ridiculous amounts, right? For superficial inclusion in their corrupt magic quadrant anyways. For example, for the same 100 grand that you might pay one of these firms, you could fund a new podcast interview series, paying off top celebrity guests to appear. You could create an hour-long documentary film that would live forever on YouTube, almost guaranteed to go viral. You could fund production of 10 YouTube pre-roll advertorial spots, 10 vertical shorts, and subsidize sales by paying 10 influencers to shout you out in their videos for 1 year, and so on and so forth. And so, of course, I'm guesstimating on these numbers, but you get the point. If you're going to pay to play for media, I would recommend, number one, spreading it out over 3 to 4 to 5 different activities to give yourself a better probability of success and of seeing an ROI. And I would definitely start thinking about higher fidelity, higher yield opportunities than pay-to-play media for the majority of businesses. As you can tell by the way I'm describing it, it's just not the best strategy. You're going to get pitched on all sorts of paid opportunities for inclusion in a lot of these publications in general. I think there's better ways to spend your money, and there's certainly more immediate, more direct ways to drive leads for your business.
That is it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. My book, Content Capitalist, is now on sale. You can visit my website, michaelbecker.org, to grab your copy. There's also a link in the description. And if you'd like to learn more about what me and my team at Neocore are building, you can visit our website, neocore.co. You can learn more there and join the waitlist for when we launch later this year.